Good morning and greetings to each one in Jesus' name. I was just sitting there marveling at how the Lord has already put a service together for us, and the songs we sung truly spoke into my life, and I just marveled at how they paralleled with what the Lord has in my heart today. I feel unworthy to stand before you. I see all these brothers out here that I just have so much respect and esteem for, and I sit here wondering, why am I standing here? But the Lord has something for us today, and I feel a burden on my heart. So as we come before Him, let's just adore and reverence His holy name, for He is worthy. Can we bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before Thy holy throne of grace today. We seek Thy presence, move in our midst, Lord, and stir our hearts to greater faithfulness, greater zeal for those that have not surrendered their lives. Father, would You move within their hearts that they could humble themselves in broken repentance and contrition and allow the Lordship of Jesus to reign within their hearts. Father, help our thoughts and our minds to always be directed towards Thee throughout this life, recognizing that we live in a temporal earth here, and there is an eternity that waits. Father, guide us today, and we pray that those of us that are preaching, that our lips could be moved by Thy Spirit of truth. We know that Jesus said that the Spirit of truth would come, and He would teach us in all truth, and He would not speak of Himself, but He would speak those things that were given to Him by the On High. And so that is my prayer today, Father, for myself. And Father, I need as much teaching as anyone here. And just work within us, Father, today is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, you could turn open to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. That word concupiscence is lust or desires. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We know the precursor to this, the Apostle Paul, in the first and second chapter, was talking about the bondage of the old law and how when we are in Christ, you know, the how does it put it there? It says, the ceremonial law being abolished. But though the ceremonial law was abolished when Christ came and was resurrected, we know that that did not... There was teachings that Jesus gave, and we have here by the Apostle Paul, that we were to even draw closer unto Christ and unto God, and that there are even more that God asks of us. We're to be holy and righteous before Him, in His presence. So hit me with this set of verses here. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. It is our privilege that we have been risen with Christ. That is, we have benefited by the resurrection of Christ and by virtue of our union and communion with Him. With Him are justified and sanctified and shall be glorified. It is our privilege that Christ rose from the grave, rose from the tomb, intercedes for us, and we as God's people, we as individuals, we can be risen with Him also. We must have holy ambition to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand. I think too often in this life, I speak for myself, too often we can get bogged down with the cares of this world and in this life, and our affections aren't set on the things that are above. Satan wants to cloud our vision and have us focus on the tertiary things in this world and not continually have the mentality that we live in a world to come. But that is where our mentality should be, and that's where our thoughts should be. As I thought about that, I thought, what can we get a glimpse? Can we get a glimpse of what heaven looks like? And I had to think of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah got a vision of what heaven looks like and what it looks up there. You know, we don't know in fullness what is there and what it looks like. But we're thankful for God's Word that we can read passages that give us a glimpse of what is to come. In Isaiah 6 it says, in the year that King Isaiah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It reminds me also in Revelation chapter 4. If I can turn there real quick. John's vision. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the 7 spirits of God. Can we picture this in our mind? Even what we picture is just very small to the glory that's there. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast like the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, each of them had 6 wings with him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we read here in Colossians that we are to set our affection on things above. What does it mean to set our affection on things above? To set your affection on means to exercise the mind, that is, entertain, to have a sentiment or opinion by implication, to be mentally disposed. intensively to interest oneself in. To set our affections upon means to love and let our desires be towards. We must make heaven our scope and aim. We must acquaint ourselves with, esteem above all, and at all costs prepare. We must continually be communing with the upper world by faith and hope and holy love and make it our constant care and business. It must drive our decisions, our interactions, our relating to one another, our brotherhood, our home, our work, our lives. It says there, I lost my place here in Colossians, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Christ, our King, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Head, who has advanced to the highest dignity and honor in heaven, who had gone on before to make it possible for us to experience eternal bliss and secure what He has purchased at so vast an expense. Where is our intensive, concentrated interest? Losing my places here. I think of Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it real quick. It talks about all these different ones who by faith came through fiery trials and overcome Satan and the evil one. It says here in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Heaven and earth are contrary one to the other. We cannot have our affections set on the things of the world, the things of the earth here, and also have our affections set on the things above. There must be a divide. We live in the world, but we should not be of the world. We should be separated, a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. What is it in the world that makes us fond of it? What is not in heaven that makes our hearts not drawn to it? In heaven is everything. It's our eternal home. What are we allowing Jesus to do within our lives? I think of an analogy, and I'm sorry if it's a little bit of a crude analogy. But I think of us driving along a road, and we're driving, and we're going along, and all of a sudden we see Jesus walking alongside the road, and we kind of pull over and, hey Jesus, yeah, I want you to come with me. I got space in the trunk. Go back in the trunk, you know. And as we continue on, we drive. Well, we got a flat tire. Jesus, can you come and change my flat tire for me, please? Come up here. We got our flat tire changed. We're driving along, and our engine starts having trouble. Oh Jesus, hey, can you come fix my engine for me? Or maybe we pull over and we say, yeah, Jesus, can you get in the back seat? Can you back there and just, you know, give me suggestions at where to go in life and what to do, but, you know, ultimately I'll just make that decision myself. Or, you know, I'm sorry if the analogy is crude, but that's not the Christian way. That's not the way of God. We need to pull over, we need to get out, and we need to hand Him the keys. Say, Lord, take me wherever You want to go. My life is in Your hands. If we've been set upon the way, if our focus and our vision on those things that are set above, I just want to encourage everyone to keep on it. Keep on pressing on. The Lord, we have an eternal home in heaven that will not fade away. There will be no trials. There will be no tests. We will be in the presence of God. We will be able to bow down before Him as the 24 elders and say those words, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is where our affection should be. And for us, I had to think, for us that are upon the way of life, as we're pressing into God's kingdom and as we're marching along, they call it Newton's law of motion, but it's really God's law. God set up these laws on earth. But it says something to the effect that anything in motion will remain in motion unless acted upon by another force. So how are we guarding against those other forces that come at us? Are we staying within the Word of God? Are we staying fervent in prayer and fervent in spirit? The last part of my message, and I'll try to close up, but it was pressed upon me to speak a little bit. In our former setting, we called them the Friends of the Truth, and I appreciate that term, but specifically, I want to be very clear. I want to speak to those of you who are here today, and as I look out at the many that are here today, there are those of you who have not surrendered your life to Christ. And I can just tell you from those of us that have experienced salvation, who are walking in the way of the Lord, who God has redeemed, those of us that have the tremendous peace in our hearts, we would love to give each of you salvation. We would love to give it to you. We'd love to hand it to you. We would love your life to be washed and cleaned and be minding the things of Christ and looking towards those things that are eternal, but we can't. I thought of this scripture here, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. That's available for you today. If you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We have much love in our hearts for each of you. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It talks there in Colossians about being dead. So my encouragement to each of you is just come before the Lord and say, I want to die. I want to die. I'm over. I'm done. I'm done trying to set my own course, and I want to serve the Lord. Come in repentance and brokenness and contrition. Bury the old man. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash and cleanse your life. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is that faith? Moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, assurance, belief, fidelity. It says there in Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened us together. To quicken means to make one alive with Christ. So if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. And that's our prayer for each of you. Don't delay. And for those of us that are upon the way, let's not let the things of the world cloud our mind. We can get so busy, and I speak all of this to myself first. We can quickly lose focus of where our true home really is. May God be blessed, glorified, and honored today as we continue to worship Him. I had to think if I can just... There's a hymn that I so appreciated that we sung this morning. If I can get the right numbers here. It was hymn number 135. God Himself is present. Let us now adore Him and with awe appear before Him. God is in His temple. All within keep silence, prostrate lie, and deep, with deepest reverence. Him alone, God, we own. Him, our God and Savior, praise His name forever. God Himself is present. Hear the praise resounding. See the host, the throne surrounding. Holy, holy, holy. Hear the hymn ascending. Angels, saints, their voices blending. Bow thine ear to us here. Hear, O Christ, the praises that thy church now raises. Thank you to each of you for listening.